What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wednesday, April 17th, 2024 edition of the Daily Energy Newsbeat. Stand up. Here are today's top headlines. First up, states are acting to prevent their own electrical crisis.
Hey,
novel idea. Next up, top Indian refiner seeks buyers of U.S. crude as Russian shipments rebound. Next up, this is a classic. Freeport LNG plant runs near zero consumption for fifth day. Womp, womp, womp. Next up, world leaders urge restraint as Israel mulls Iran response. Just some spooky stuff, guys. Next up, why oil markets are calm despite Iran-Israel tensions. Really fascinating to look at, I think, what everybody is wondering. Hey, I thought, shouldn't have oil prices gone to the moon because of this? Stu will cover that. He will then toss it over to me. I will quickly cover what's going on in the oil and gas markets, specifically where oil prices landed today. We will also check in with the API's crude oil estimate of the EIA's crude oil inventory numbers, which you will hear today as you listen to this. And then finally, Kimmeridge goes ahead and withdraws their proposal to combine Silverbow with Kimmeridge Texas Gas. So the public battle comes to an end. We will dive into some of those details and all here on this episode. As always, I am Michael Tanner, joined by Stuart Turley. Where do you want to begin?
Hey, let's roll around to the states. More power to the states, baby. States are acting to prevent their own electricity crisis. This is really coming around. And Michael, Ms. Producer, if you could just flash this on the screen here, there is this picture of the states. And when you take a look at the states, there's red and dark blue, or it's not really a political map. But what this map is critically showing is blue is where the coal is used. The red is where coal is the largest dispatchable source of energy. There's about six or seven things that are coming up in this thing. Now, take a look at that map. You have Idaho, you have Oregon and California that are in deep doo-doo. And that gray up in the northern east, Vermont still uses coal. The rest of them, anything over Maine and beyond is not.
I want to give a shout out to the AmericasPower.org. They're the people that put this together. No, super interesting. I mean, we've known this for a while. Coal is the premier dispatchable power bill. I think it's interesting. They talk about this Kentucky legislation, Senate Bill 349. I'm reading here from the article, to establish a commission that will review the adequacy of the state's electrical supply and provide advice on whether the retirement of existing power plants would undermine the reliability of Kentucky's energy grid. At least somebody's thinking.
Exactly. Like the EPA is expected to finalize, this is also in the article, three new rules in the coming week that will cause premature retirement of coal fuel power plants, even though coal generates at least half the electricity in seven states and at least 20% in the other 10. Only nine states, gray below, use no coal at all. And that is not true because California imports from the two border states electricity. California, I just visited with Ronald Stein this morning. California is the largest importer of electricity in the United States. So they do import coal.
All right, let's go abroad here. What's next?
Oh, I mean, I just got all worked up there. Let's go to top Indian refiner seeks buyers of U.S. crude as Russian shipments rebound. This one's kind of wild, Michael, and because India's private refiner Reliance is now selling their WTI crude because they would rather have the heavier Russian oil because Russia is now drilling like a bad dog and sending it all out there amid issues with payments and stricter U.S. sanctions on Russian crude exports. The tanker fleet operator Zolvkomfort, Indian refiners have recently ramped up purchases of other grades similar to the Skol, Russia Skol. WT Midland is one of those crude. So you sit back and take a look. Before offering the crude, Reliance also had tried to sell in Asia some of those cargoes. they are ramping up their Russia imports. Now, they're so hungry, Michael. I don't think this is really a warning sign. They're still going to buy everything they can.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing exactly what they should be doing for the Indian people. I mean, yes, is it enriching Russia? But at some point, you have to look out for yourself. I think that's the point of why everybody is questioning all right. the money we're sending to Ukraine and overseas. Of like, we've got problems here. Can we focus? And once we figure out us, can we worry about somebody else? I think they tell you that in therapy. Don't try to fix somebody else. You got to fix yourself. I think somebody said that. It is interesting what they're doing here. This little shell game of buying more Russian crude, even though the sanctions have gone up, taking U.S. crude, selling it on the open market. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, they point out that WTI Midland, that crude stack, India is set to import in April its highest volumes from the U.S. in 11 months.
Wow. Now, here's one thing that is happening is we've talked about the dark fleet, and this article brings up the problem with the Russian tankers. We're now seeing Turkey in yesterday's show when you were out on assignment having way too much fun. So the Turkey is now looking at becoming a natural gas hub. Well, how are they doing that? Their import facility is now taking on Russian and Chinese LNG that has been bought from Russia. And if it's transferred into the gray market, if you would, it now becomes gray market natural gas beyond sanctions. Yeah. Turkey is going to make some big bucks.
We got to talk Freeport. This is hilarious.
Freeport LNG plant runs near zero consumption for the fifth day. Michael, it has operated since January on only two of its three plants called Trans, working in March. That fell to one. Holy smokes, they're down. That fell to 1.3 billion cubic feet per day and then to 700 million cubic feet per day. Wow. Said it's train two. Liquefaction unit will be shut down totally. Train one will be taken down imminently as it expects inspections and subsequent repairs. They're having some serious problems.
Yeah, this is, you know, who's running this, they're running it like Stalag 13 or something. You know, you got Colonel Klink over there, you know? Who do we have running this plan? This has been out. This plan, we've been talking this plan for a year and a half now, Stu. A year and a half we've been talking about Freeport LNG. You know, they come back offline after they had some major work to be done. We can't stay open during the freeze. It's unbelievable, Stu. This cracks me up because I'll be the first to admit I was on the train that once Freeport was up and running, you would see gas prices go down tremendously. Well, gas prices have gone down without Freeport even being online. So I took a swing and a miss there, but it's hilarious they can't get that online.
Oh no, this is, I don't know that I could do a better job, but on the other hand, it is pretty funny.
It is. I can't believe, I mean, this can take so 2.2 to 2.4. Go ahead.
If you're accusing them of having Colonel Klink running it and he's sitting there with his monocle and I'm sitting there holding up one piece of my glass over my eyes. So, who is Sergeant Schultz is what I want to know. I see nothing. Who is Sergeant Schultz in that outfit? It's
the EIA not looking from gas demand. That's who it is. But no, that plant draws between 2.2 BCF per day and 2.4 BCF per day when fully operational. As you mentioned, those two trains were down. Train three was also taken offline, but it's now back online. It got taken out when some of those motors were damaged during the freeze. So it's just
it's crazy.
It's a mess. What's next?
Oh, man. You know, hi, honey, I'm home permanently. They've shut the plant down and I now lost my job. World leaders urge restraint as Israel mulls Iran's response. Michael, this goes along with the next article, why oil markets are calm despite Iran's.
I want you to rant on this for a bit.
I'm a little weirded out, dude. Honestly, I mean, you and I have talked about this for years. Ever since you and I were going to have our own tanker fleet, we were going to fill oil in our own. Because as soon as, you know, something happens, I don't get this. And Iran's foreign ministry said on Monday it does not seek further escalation in the Middle East. Yesterday and yesterday afternoon, Israel is now saying they are going to attack. Now, if they attack their nuclear fleet, what does that mean? Do they attack their oil fields and their export facilities? That's something different. Are they going to attack something else? All of it, I have no clue. But yesterday I covered there's about five different analysts. Are you there, Michael? Are you?
Oh, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. There's five different analysts, Goldman Sachs and all these guys, and they all came out with different answers. And so why I think everybody, and this is my personal opinion, why everybody is calm right now is because nobody has any idea how bad it could get. I mean, think about it. We had Iran throw a record number of missiles. They were shot down by the Iron Dome, and 1%, two people were killed, Michael, and it was because two Iranian missiles blew up in Iran. They misfired. So they got zero people. One young girl was hurt. That's pretty bad for 330 missiles. That's bad.
Yeah. I mean, the quote from the Israeli government spokesperson, David Mentzer, quote, "We reserve the right to do everything in our power and we will do everything in our power to defend this country." It can't be fun to look up in your skies and see the fact that you have to fire off the Iron Dome is probably very scary. And I can only imagine what those people are going through over there.
Our hearts and prayers go out to
You walk outside, civilians. You just see, you see $1 billion just being exploded over the top of your country is never good. You know, this is a lot of missiles. 300 missiles is big. I think from oil standpoint, I think a lot of this price action was already priced in. Remember, Iran telegraphed this 72 hours prior, and we saw the run up based upon that. The rumor, what do you say? Buy the rumor, sell the news. There's a reason for that. You know, I think people were woefully with call options on Sunday night were woefully missed. Woke up, unfortunately, not too pumped because, you know, oil was pretty much flat. Because again, I mean, I don't want to get into the geopolitical analysis of this, but it seems pretty obvious that Iran wanted everybody to know what happened so that nobody came back and really took them out because they're nervous that they could actually get wiped off the face of the earth. So
there's three things people need to look at. Iran sent out video of Chile's fire that was devastating and said, this is what we did to Israel. So let me say that again. Iran put out on their TV a film of a forest fire saying this was a result of their thing to their citizens. So that's a big thing going, whoops. And then you have Biden, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene coming out and saying that Biden approved Iran and told them it was okay to bomb Israel. I'm like, and there's about four other people that have done that as well. So Biden is saying don't. And then he's saying, okay. And then he's telling Israel, don't retaliate and we're not going to be there. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't think he knows what he's thinking.
That's no, scary. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I do think, you know, to try to tie it back to what's going on in energy, I think a lot of this stuff has been priced in. I think.
Yes.
The next move, though, you're not going to be able to price in the next move because I don't think it's going to be telegraphed. I don't think there's going to be a 72-hour head warning. Right. Hey, we're going to do this.
And then, by the way, as soon as it does and nobody's dead, Iran goes, we're done. Really?
No kidding.
done here. But the one thing I want to let people know to look for is some copper prices and other critical minerals are going up because of additional sanctions on Russia. So check those out. And there's additional problems in the critical minerals I'm trying to run down.
Critical minerals, you're speaking my language, but appreciate it, Stu. We'll go ahead. And before we jump into finance, we'll go ahead and pay the bills here, guys. As always, appreciate you guys checking us out. www.com. energynewsbeat.com, the best place for all of your energy and oil and gas news. All the news and analysis you just heard is brought to you courtesy of the world's greatest website, energynewsbeat.com. Stu and the team do a tremendous job making sure that website stays up to speed. Everything you need to know to be the tip of the spear when it comes to the energy and the oil and gas business. Check out the description below in your podcast platform to go ahead and see all the links to the articles, timestamps, and all the rest. We appreciate all of the contributors who contribute to all the articles that we're able to cover here. You can also check out dashboard.energynewsbeat.com, the best place for all your data and energy news combo. We've got a really great, cool V2 that we're working on. And there's also, a lot of great stuff we have in the works. So we appreciate all of our listeners, but let's go ahead and jump over to finance, guys. I mean, as we just mentioned, oil fairly flat today as kind of the current economic headwinds that we're seeing here at home are kind of counteracting those kind of geopolitical tensions and specifically some of the pricing in data. So Reuters, you know, would tell you that, you know, mainly a lot of the investor sentiment at home, mainly from data that we saw roll out last week. I mean, remember, there was stronger expected inflation that we saw last week, which most likely means the Federal Reserve is not going to go ahead, actually cut rates. Remember, there was 3 rate cuts baked in for this year. If there's only 2, that's going to substantially, again, hurt the market there. So I think those concerns weigh a little bit more heavily to the already priced in. You know, here's the quote from Powell, the recent data. He gave this quote at the Wilson Center in Washington, I think, today or yesterday, but the recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence. Yikes. You know what that means?
Increase.
2 rate cuts, probably.
2 rate cuts?
Schneider, Matador Economics, rising interest rates are killing markets as it appears the Fed are stuck in the mud while the economy continues to inflate. I think Tim Schneider, if I'm not mistaken, somebody forwarded me a newsletter from him. I think he's a local Dallas guy. We got to get him on the podcast. Tim Schneider, okay. Matador Economics, shouted him. I definitely remember getting getting an email from that guy. So love being quoted there in Reuters. Again, geopolitical stuff's kind of swing the market either way. You know, the other indices, we saw the S&P 500 drop about 0.25 percentage point. NASDAQ actually stayed fairly flat. It was up about 0.04 percentage points. We did see 2-year yields jump 1.14 percentage points. 10-year yields slightly outpacing that at 1.15 percentage point. Dollar index on the rise, up about 0.1 percentage point. We have seen Bitcoin drop substantially down to $62,000. That's only about a 1% on the day, but about on a 4-day span as we move closer to the halving date. As always, crude oil currently sitting at $85.31, Brent oil $90.20, and natural gas sitting there at $1.72. Opened on a slightly colder than expected weather report. Opened here about 1.8 percentage points up. So we love to see that. I really got 2 things here. If we can go ahead and flash this up on the screen, Ms. Producer, we did see yesterday U.S. API guesstimation of the crude oil strategic petroleum reserves, which you were here at 10:30, I think it's either 9:30 or 10 Central Standard Time. API is guesstimating about 3.03 million barrels of build in that strategic or in the crude oil inventories outside of the strategic petroleum reserve. So obviously they're whatever happens with that is discluded in these numbers. Forecast it was 2.4, so market didn't really move much. But as remember last week, there was expected draw and we saw a build. It's going to be very interesting tomorrow as we check on in on this later today. And as we come to you tomorrow to compare kind of what happened and what effect that had on prices. Last thing I have, Kimmeridge withdraws proposal to combine Silverbow with Kimmeridge Texas Gas. Top line headlines. Silverbow has, this is a quote out of the PR release. Silverbow has refused to enter into good faith negotiations or undertake substantial due diligence to assess the best path forward for unlocking value on behalf of all shareholders, necessitating the need for fresh perspective in the boardroom. Kimmeridge to focus on electing 3 highly qualified independent nominees to Silverbow's 9-person staggered board at the 2024 annual meeting. They are, in a sense, calling off the proposed, you know, threat by merger, as I like to say, of taking Silverbow and trying to combine them with Kimmeridge Texas Gas, which, if you will recall, is basically Laredo Petroleum. They would, you know, that combination would make one of the larger pure play Eagleford's, which has some attractive nature to it. I think it's interesting, though, that Silverbow has a really bad rap in the industry. And I say this, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people you talk to. It's not just Kimmeridge that believes this. They're, you know, what do they say? Good management, good numbers. You know, I think this is unfortunately, this is one where management has is very limited in their exposure to the health of the business by again, it's all insiders. There's no independent. They're all salaried. And there's nothing against salaried executives, but your executives don't have skin in the game. There's a disalignment of incentives because right. If you're purchased, if you're merged, if you're taken over and you're a salaried employee, I mean, that could be your job if they don't like you. But if you have a nice change of control package, you have some sweat equity in the deal, you're more willing to evaluate. And I think that's what Kimmeridge is getting at is, you know, the top two minority shareholders, Kimmeridge and Repsol Capital, are sort of saying the same thing. So, you know, I think what's going on at the executive level with Silverbow, something's going to have to give one way or the other. And it's going to be interesting to follow this proxy season because Kimmeridge is usually pretty good at this stuff. They're able to strong arm. I mean, they're behind a lot of the deals that we've seen recently and in the past. I mean, we can name off, you know, 10 to 20 of them really in the past two to four years. Point is, I mean, it's interesting they weren't successful with this. I think it has a lot to do with where gas prices are right now. I think if gas prices were higher, they'd probably be able to do a little bit more work. I mean, Eagleford, yes, you have a decent amount of oil down there, but there's a lot of liquids or there's a lot of gas down there too. So you got to make sure you contend with that.
Cool.
You got anything else for today, Stu?
Just watch out for minerals and weaponization of sanctions.
Well, with that, guys, we'll let you get out of here, get back to work or start your day. We appreciate you checking us out on the world's greatest website and podcast, energynewsbeat.com. For Stuart Turley and Michael Tanner, we'll see you tomorrow, folks.